Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
David Eichel, Sean Bock, HawkeyeInsider.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Sean, it's been a couple days post-Illinois in probably the most frustrating game of the season, I think, for Iowa fans. Iowa loses 9-3. Illinois snapped an 8-game losing streak against the Hawkeyes. And Sean, this is probably the second time, maybe second time this year where there was just a lot of pent-up frustration. There was a lot of emotion post-game, and really, really, they just looked and sounded defeated. So the bye week couldn't come at a better time. I mean, where do we even start to break this one down? It was no good all around, incredibly frustrating for Iowa fans and the players alike.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, like you said, the bye week could not have come at a better time. And the bye week is a good time for, you know, young guys to get in the mix, but also is a good time for guys to get healthy. And I think that's one of the things that has really hurt this Iowa team this year too. I mean, you can't look past the health of this team, and especially at the wide receiver position. I think that is a area where it's been very evident. Starting with Keegan Johnson, you know, Nico Vergani was out for the first few games. Arlen Bruce was the only healthy scholarship wide receiver. You know, they're just, and obviously with the stuff that happened this offseason, I think a lot of people really underestimated what the loss of Charlie Jones would be for this Iowa team. And even Tyrone Tracy, I know that both of them weren't used as much as, you know, they would have liked, or people would have liked, but that effect and that depth, I mean, they would have played a much bigger role for this year's team. And, you know, it's been felt within the program and from the outside offensively too. There just seems to be some disconnect going on. And if you can get these guys healthy, that's gonna be a big help. I mean, Deontay Vines has started to practice a little bit more. Not really sure on what Keegan Johnson is going to do, but you just gotta get healthy, man. Like, there's other areas too where there needs to be health, and, you know, just to refocus, just like to recoup and just take the bye week and really, really kind of just refresh and, you know, get back to where you need to be. I know expectations won't change inside the program, but from our perspective and from fans' perspective too, like, there just seems to be, like, we need to do some reshaping with these expectations. And, you know, there's still a lot of football left. The Big Ten West is as wide open as possible. I think Iowa should have won. You know, should be 5-1 at this point. I think those games against Iowa State and Illinois were very beatable opponents, but they kind of just shot themselves in the foot, whether that be poor offensive play. Like I said, injuries, don't want to make that a total excuse. Poor offensive play. And I get, like, the whole mantra of people giving Kirk Ferentz a lot of crap about his most, like, overused stat, which is offensive yardage. I agree with him, but I also think timely touchdowns is a stat that I wish, you know, could be kept in some capacity, because there have been times where the defense has put Iowa's offense in such a good position that they have been unable to put the ball in the end zone or really change the game. And, you know, you look at the Iowa State game, that Monty Potabom fumble, Iowa would have taken the lead at that point. It would have taken a much bigger lead. And this last game too, I mean, the opportunities that they had to score, but, they just couldn't do it. And timely touchdowns, man, like those need to be, or points off turnovers, maybe that's a stat too. Those need to be kept, you know, in a vault somewhere, because Iowa just seems like they haven't been overly successful in those components. And, you know, that's where you need to be successful if you want to be a good team.
I mean, I'm with you. And it's to the point where we need to go down this road. I mean, tinkering and tweaking with the offense doesn't do anything anymore. This needs to be a complete overhaul of the system. And I know Kirk doesn't want to do it, but let's go through a couple stats, Sean. Iowa has scored 7 or fewer 6 times in the last calendar year. In the last 10 starts for Spencer Petras, let's go through the – since Iowa started off 6-0 last year, Iowa 7-7. The offense has scored 7 points, 7, 17, which was Padilla's start, 27, Padilla, 19, Padilla, 21, Padilla, 3, 17, 3, 7, 27, 13, 14, and 6. I believe Petras is 3-7 in his last 10 starts. Iowa as a team is 5-7 in their last 12 games against Power 5 opponents. Iowa right now is dead last in offense. Iowa has scored 7 touchdowns this year, 7 offensive touchdowns this year. One team they played was Nevada. It was one of the bottom 10 teams in the country, maybe bottom 15. They also play an FCS school. Very good FCS school, but not one that should be holding Iowa to 0 touchdowns in a game. And I get the health span issue, but we haven't seen strides. I know I got bombarded by people last week after I gave Iowa's offense an F against Michigan. I said it doesn't translate when the game matters. And Illinois, the game against Illinois completely emphasized that. They couldn't get it done. And the defense did everything, and special teams did everything for Iowa except put the ball in the end zone. I mean, Iowa forced 3 turnovers. They started a drive at the 4-yard line. Then they end up getting driven back to the 23-yard line after an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Bo Stevens and a tackle for loss on a Caleb Johnson run. I mean, Sean, some of the schemes and just some of the stuff that happened during the game was insane. I mean, Iowa punting, Illinois muffing the punt, right? And then Jack Campbell getting it. And then Iowa punting again. Then Illinois took over. And then Iowa forcing a fumble, getting the ball at the 4-yard line. Then, like I said, it resulted in a field goal. I don't know. I mean, it's to the point where we're almost gaslighting the defense when we ask him post-game, like, hey, you held him to 9 points. You know, what more could you have done? Or, you know, are you sensing any frustration? They're not going to come out and say yes. And, like, we should have done more. We were allowing too many rushing yards. Like, Sean, Iowa's defense, realistically, how much better can they get? And what more can they do besides put the ball in the end zone for Iowa's offense? And that's the kind of the point where we're at this season.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, I think after 6 games, you have a pretty good idea of where things are at with a team or what a team looks like. And at this rate, it's like, yes, you know, you can take those small, tiny improvements. I think people need to realize too that, you know, not everything is going to go from amazing, or not, things aren't going to go from bad to really good or really great. Like, that's very rare. You got to realize that there's like baby steps that have to be taken in order for teams to, you know, get to a certain point. And I think with this team, we thought the base would be a little farther than it was, you know, whether that be offensive line play. I've honestly thought outside of the last 2 quarters of the game, Spencer Petras has looked better. We expected the run game to be better. Like, there just seems to be some sort of disconnect with this Iowa offense where you don't want to rehaul the system. I think people need to understand that, you know, the offense isn't going to change. Like, you're not going to run totally different things, or, you know, maybe execution could be better, but like, play calling's probably going to remain the same. Which plays are ran, and, you know, that could be a problem. And just other areas too. Like, I think Iowa offensively is what it is right now. And I think that's painful to hear, for a lot of people, like, yes, there can be improvement, but I think they kind of are what they are at this rate. And, you know, I think there could be slight improvement, but, you know, I think this team, it's just, and it's crazy to me because the expectations coming into this year were so much higher. And I get it. Iowa was very close in beating Illinois and Iowa State, but it's like, what makes you think they're going to beat, you know, Minnesota, who I know has struggled at times. Wisconsin, I know, has not been great. Like, you look at the Big Ten West, like, this was the year that Iowa should have won it and made it back to back. And now we're thinking like a whole new narrative with this team and with this program, something that we did not expect to have. And it's very frustrating to watch. And I get it from a fan perspective. Like, there was a lot of hype about this offense. It's just like, where did things go wrong? That's, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Sean, I think that's an interesting point because I really don't know where you can kind of pinpoint it. I think there was potential warning signs that we maybe shortchanged. I mean, losing Linderbaum was a big deal. And Logan Jones, I thought that was way, way, way too high of expectations from people, given all the comparisons to Linderbaum. Tyrone Tracy, Charlie Jones leaving. Iowa really not aggressively going in the transfer portal for wide receivers when they desperately need help. I think that's a huge red flag. And not recruiting enough wide receivers, I think, is another deal in that, Sean. But Iowa's tight ends have been good. But just the way that Iowa really ended last season, you really thought that there's just really nowhere else they could go but up. And I think that, you know, Gavin LaShawn showed a lot against Kentucky. But right now, Gavin's probably a third string. I thought he really did not have his best game against Illinois. He botched a couple protections, wasn't running the ball well. I thought he misplayed a route, or he could have caught a pass that wasn't that bad from Petras. There's just a number of tiny things. And my thing is, Sean, if you're running an offense where everything has to go perfectly in order to gain yards, that's a horrible offensive system.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place.
While you're filling out financial reports at work, in the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And I think we've seen time and time again that of players and coaches alike saying, we're close. We correct this, we're gonna be able to turn it into a big play. Why do 100, at least maybe 120 other teams in country not have that problem with their offense? They can make something out of nothing. I mean, Iowa just has such a lack of explosive plays. I haven't dove into the statistics. I'd be shocked if they weren't near the bottom of the country. It just feels like they're never going to be able to achieve that. So like I said, I think it needs to be a complete overhaul of the scheme. And you weren't at Illinois, but I want your opinion on this. I asked Kirk a question about potentially firing a coach or making some changes this week. And I want to preface it by saying I did not specify what coach, but as we've seen across the country, even yesterday, Sean, Indiana, I believe, fired their offensive line coach. Rutgers fired their offensive coordinator. We've seen Nebraska, Wisconsin make wholesale changes. I mean, it's a very volatile market in the Big Ten coaching. So I asked Kirk if he was anticipating using the bye week to evaluate where the coaches sit. And he just said, no. And then he kind of got snippy where he talked about, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we won 10 games last year. We've won a lot of games since 2015. And I want your opinion on just kind of the answer in general, Sean, because to me, if you're pointing to last year, that's probably the worst year to use, considering Iowa's offense was probably just as bad as it was this year, if not maybe slightly better or more opportunistic. Like, the numbers don't show that they if anything, it helps the argument that Iowa probably should be making a change to an assistant spot or elsewhere. But what was your kind of read on the situation? Because people were not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why, like, Kirk would say that. because Iowa is a program built on stability. And I understand the results for a lot of people are frustrating, but I also understand why a lot of people took it the wrong way. And, you know, I mean, it's a game too. Like, those press conferences are some of the toughest times to, you know, navigate as a head coach, because, you know, you're pretty pissed after the game. Obviously the way that things went down wasn't very favorable. You had a lot of opportunities to win, and it's just stuff building on each other. So I get the frustration. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it's fair to use last year as a reminder, because I mean, you look at the current trends of where things are at right now. I mean, someone has to ask the question. But yeah, I mean, I think the frustration, I think, you know, you talk about 10 games last year, like, you know, you can point to that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But I think if the way that the last, you know, stretch of games ended, I think that's a little, you know, I don't think you can really use that excuse. Like, I see where he was coming from, but I think you have to look at from big picture. I think you have to look at the whole trends of everything and, you know, really see what the whole scope of it is.
Yeah. And I understand your point there too, but, and this isn't to trash the players on Iowa. Like, I want to be very, very clear about that. But statistically, Sean, when Iowa won those games, they start out 6-0, but they're 7-7 their past 14 games. And I would argue that Iowa won 10 games last year in spite of their offense. I mean, they were opportunistic when push came to shove. But I think when you, again, you look at a couple stats from last year, like, Iowa was not, I mean, I just want to say they weren't much better. In 2021, Iowa ended 121st in total offense. They produced 29 touchdowns on offense. Iowa had 24 field goals and 2 touchdowns on special teams, and Iowa's defense had 4 touchdowns. So you have 24 field goals and you're getting 6 touchdowns from special teams and defense. It's a tough road to navigate. I mean, the special teams and defense scored more frequently than Iowa's offense, 30-29. So it's a tough road to navigate. I get that Kirk's emotions were high, and again, I understand why he answered the way he did. And I think if Iowa's offense was slightly better, maybe in the 110-100 range, I don't think people are as upset. But when they're far and away dead last right now, and you use last year in a season where they also ended horribly. I mean, they got killed in the Big Ten championship, then they lost to Kentucky. It's not like the season ended on a high note, you know? So I think that also just it's a very big boiling point right now. And I understand they don't want to make a midseason change. I'm not even saying they're wrong to do that, but depending on how Iowa ends this season, there might be some serious questions that need to be asked going into the offseason, because when you have this bad of an offense for 2 years in a row, Sean, it really is almost coaching malpractice not to change some things. I'm not even saying staff-wise. I'm saying scheme-wise, you have to change something. There's no excuse to not.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. And I think there's some things that Iowa wants to do offensively that may be better with a mobile quarterback or, you know, offensive line. I think that's something that needs to be better. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's there's a lot. There's just a lot to digest. And like, I was thinking of I was putting something together yesterday for the site, the three things I know, three things like I think, and I had a pretty easy time looking at the three things I think, but like some of the three things I know is like offense needs fixing. And, you know, outside of that, like there really wasn't much else. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's just a lot. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what domino effect that this season could have. I mean, I think there's still potential for this team to be, you know, 8-4, 7-5, but realistically, you could be looking at 6-6, 5-7.
They're fighting for bowl eligibility, in my opinion, because again, you look at the rest of the schedule. With all due respect to Iowa, Sean, I mean, Ohio State, they're getting Ohio State right out of the bye week. And I think Ohio State has a bye week as well. And Ohio State looks awfully impressive right now. And then Purdue's doing some good things. Minnesota is going to be an incredibly tough out, I think. You look at Sean, even Nebraska, like, I don't think Nebraska is going to be that bad by the end of the year. I think they're doing some nice things. They're really, even Northwestern, because Northwestern, they always find a way to make it interesting with Iowa. Like, Sean, I look at this schedule. I don't see a guaranteed win on the remainder of the schedule. Now, I'm not saying Iowa's not going to win a game. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there's no gimmies. There are no gimmies the rest of the season. I think that's what's going to make it very interesting. And, you know, I feel for the defense, because I think this defense has been incredible this season. I think that they're being overshadowed by the offensive struggles. And I still hope people can kind of appreciate what they're doing, because I think Iowa's numbers are outstanding. But Sean, this is a defense that's on the field more than most of the other top defenses in the country. I mean, they have to stop so many drives because Iowa's offense just can't maintain and sustain drives throughout the course of a game. So Iowa's defense is putting up all these crazy numbers in spite of being on the field for 35, 40 minutes a game. It really is. It's just super impressive to me.
Yeah, it's that can take a toll on a team, and that can make things look, you know, a lot worse and a lot better than they are. And, you know, like you said, it's unfair to the defense. And I know people aren't going to say it, and, you know, I know it's going to be a team thing, because if you've ever played sports, it's like, yeah, it can get frustrating. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're a team that's united, and you're a team that, you know, respects other guys on the team. And obviously it's probably frustrating for them. I get that. But, you know, they back each other up, and yeah, it's I don't know. Like, I'm just like kind of lost for words with some stuff.
I am too. I mean, it's the season's gone completely different than I think you and I both imagined. I mean, if Iowa had been 3-3 in the first six, I would have been surprised, but just the way they've gone 3-3, I think that's also really ramped up the emotions from people. And I think, without having a truly dominant team in the Big Ten West, I also think that that's really ramped up people. Because you mentioned it earlier, Sean, this is the year Iowa should have gone back-to-back. And you know what? They still could. If they somehow went out and they beat everybody else in the Big Ten West and Illinois falls a couple of times, like, Iowa can make it back in Indianapolis. Like, it's not off the table. I think it's a very critical bye week. I think Iowa needs to do a big, big look in the mirror. And I would compare this, for different reasons. I compare this, the way the rest of the season goes, to the Iowa-Michigan State game in 2020. Iowa started out 0-2. I think if they lose to Michigan State, things really go off the rails. They go 0-3. And, you know, it was, again, different turmoil, different situation, right? But given how good this defense is and how good Torrey Taylor is, something's going to give. I mean, there's going to – and I know the players are going to say publicly that there's nothing, you know, there's no tension, there's no none of that. And that's exactly what they should do. They should be backing up their guys. But Sean, you've been around college athletics, you know, college athletes, you know, emotions are high right now. You know, there's tension there. I'm not trying to fabricate something, and I believe they have each other's backs and want to push each other, but you got to imagine there's gotta be some level of frustration that, you know, if something doesn't give in the next few games, I'm very curious what happens. This is a lot of whataboutism, but I think we're at the point of the season, Sean, where it has to be whataboutism.
Yeah, this is where teams come together. This is a stretch where, you know, guys need to come together, and guys need to be, you know, held accountable. And, you know, I mean, not held accountable, but guys need to be accountable for, you know, how the rest of the season goes. Because, yeah, I mean, like you said, that it could lead to a lot of question marks this offseason. Like, you know, it's winning cures all. And that's like,
yep,
the most, you know, overused term in college football and college athletics and sports in general, but it really does. And this week, I think we'll be this week and next week, you know, how they come out against Ohio State, I'm not expecting Ohio State to lose that game, but I think how they come out against Ohio State would be a really big teller for the rest of the season.
You know what else I've found very interesting, Sean, and I need to go back and look through the numbers. I've noticed Iowa's deferring more than taking the ball in the first half. I think Kirk's been notorious over his career to want the ball first, to try to set the tone. Why is it this year that Iowa's deferring? I think if you want to try to show confidence in your offense, you got to put them on the field.
Yeah.
It's just, don't know. There's a lot of question marks, and I'm going to go back through and rewatch this Iowa-Illinois game today. I think, I think last year's team is more the same, but I think last year's team was much more opportunistic. The offense was. I mean, I think they got weapons. I think Sam Laporta showed some good things. I think we've seen Luke Lachey show some good things. I think Iowa's gone away from Arlen Bruce, and I don't think that's a good thing. And the offensive line hasn't been consistent. I still think Caleb Johnson can be a very good running back. But, you know, Sean, another big thing I've noticed from Spencer, Spencer still locks into one target. He does not go through his progressions. He's looking at Sam Laporta the whole way. He's looking at Luke Lachey the whole way. He looked at Arlen Bruce for most of the time through the first couple of weeks. Like, he does not go through his progressions. And is that because he's just so zoned in and so locked in, or is he just not getting the time to go through his progressions? And I think that's a serious question that needs to be asked too.
Yeah, I think it's time is one of the things. I think that is a big part to do with it. And I think, you know, getting separation with the receivers, I think that has something to do with it too. And also comes down to execution. Like, a lot of people underestimate how hard it is to be a quarterback and how much is going on at one time and how much you have to know and how much you have to have pre-snap reads and everything like that. Makes it really difficult. And, you know, I get it. Third year starter, you got to be better. You got to be more consistent. But I think that's one position on offense where I've seen a little bit of growth. But then the second half was a tiny step backward. So you just got to keep building on that. I get it, year three, a lot of frustration, but you just got to keep building.
Sean and I will be back in a couple of days. I think we're going to do a position-by-position grading and breakdown of some analysis of everything we've seen this year. We are going to get a chance to speak with LeVar Woods, Phil Parker, and Brian Ferentz on Wednesday. So we'll be sure to do a podcast on that, because Lord knows everybody wants to hear from Brian right now. We haven't heard from Brian since the first week after South Coast State. So I think some tough questions are going to be asked. I'm very curious how Brian Ferentz answers them. I think this is, a very critical juncture for his tenure at Iowa. I think it's a critical stretch for this year's team. And if Iowa's going to turn around the next 2 weeks, have to set the stage. Because, again, I don't think they beat Ohio State, Sean, but you have to show some form of growth that can tangibly translate over to Northwestern and to the rest of the season. Because, again, you obviously go into the goal of being Ohio State. You want that sort of swagger. You want that mindset. But Iowa's offense just needs to see a couple good things that can transfer over to Northwestern and the other Big Ten West teams.
Yeah. There needs to be something shown. I think that would give people a lot of optimism. I mean, 7-5, I think people would be happy based on where, you know, things are at now. But, you know, 6-6 is looking possible.
It is. And I think we will find – if the thing is, I said Illinois is the biggest must win. I still stand by that. But that Northwestern game could be right back up there in terms of a must win if Iowa wants to make a bowl game, in my opinion, because that last stretch is not going to be easy by any means. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBOC247, and follow us at Hawkeyes on 247. Sean and I will be churning out content throughout the bye week. And, you know, Sean, from a college football fan standpoint, I think there's five top 20 matchups. So I'm kind of happy that Iowa's not playing. It'll be nice to watch a lot of good football games in action on Saturday. But until then, we'll talk to you in a few days, and thanks.
This is Tony Kornheiser show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.